Justin. Good morning. Wow. I usually like to be a little bit closer, but see that it won't happen this morning, so it's not a problem. Amen. I am grateful to be here this morning. I want to thank you for inviting me and for having me speaking to you this morning. I pray that our time this morning will be well spent and that you will hear from the Lord this morning. Amen. I am only a tool. I am just a vessel that the Lord is using. So I am grateful for this opportunity to be able to speak with you this morning. It is kind of interesting because most of the young people that I've seen up here this morning are young people that I have at least, well, some of them, I have had the pleasure of even being their counselor at camp. Cameron was actually in one of my dorms many, many years ago, which means that Cameron was an old kid in my dorm. Right? Because I'm just 18 plus. I think I stopped counting after 18. But as I said, I'm grateful to be here, and I love what I see is going on here, especially with the young people. And I've been in youth ministry for many, many years, and one of the things that I've noticed that keeps young people in church is being active in the church. Everyone ought to be active in whatever church you go, wherever you go. And so that way, you will start seeing how the Lord is going to use you. Amen? Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles with me, could you please turn to the book of 1 Samuel? We will be reading from chapter 17. We'll read from verse number 1 all the way to verse number 16. And while you're there, I'm going to ask you to stay there because we're actually going to go through the whole chapter. I don't like the look that I just got from some of you, thinking this is going to be long. Don't worry. I was told by Pastor Gary to speak until I'm finished. So, for many of you that know me, I'm a long speaker. I'm kidding. All right? Anyway, so 1 Samuel chapter 17. Before I get into that, one of the things that I have always appreciated is the fact that you guys have your messages online, and I've been very in tune to listening to those messages, as a matter of fact. And I love the series that you guys have been going through, which is Ghost Stories. I love the spin on it also. And the first week, Pastor Gallimore talked to you about the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit is a he. You know, oftentimes as Christian, we see the Holy Spirit as a it, not realizing that the Holy Spirit is a person. And then Pastor Gary went on and talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I know in some of our churches, we don't like to hear those kind of words because we start thinking that this is like the charismatic movement. But listen, this is coming from the Bible. Amen? And I think that once we really understand what that means, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, man, just imagine what the church can be. And then Pastor Gary went on again and he started talking about the power of the Holy Spirit and how the Spirit of God gives you the power to overcome whatever difficulties you may be having in your lives. Amen? Now, today I'm not going to be dealing with that subject. I'm going to be dealing with a slightly different version of a subject, which is facing your giants. Facing your giants. Now, this is going to be taken primarily from the text here in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, let's read. It says, "Now the Philistine gathered their forces for war and assembled at Socor in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes Damin between Socor and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle lines to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them." Verse number 4. "A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale of armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung about his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servant of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Verse number 12. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time, he was old and well advanced in years. Jesse's 3 oldest sons had followed Saul to the war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, and the third Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep in Bethlehem. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Let us just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you at this time, and I ask you, Lord God, that you let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. As we begin to declare your word to your people at this time, may your people hear your word, Lord God, and that they will obey you. Hide me behind the cross, and may it be that you be glorified at this moment and change lives in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I grew up in Jamaica, and usually on Saturdays is the day when your parents would go to the market. I grew up with my grandmother. I didn't really grow up with my mom until later on in life. And on every Saturday when my grandmother would leave to go to the market, she usually leaves and gives us one instruction. "I want you to clean up the house until I come back." Now, when she left, all of us, as there was about 9 or 10 of us that was living there at the time. Most of us was boys, and there was probably just about 2 girls. My grandmother's youngest son was still living there, and he used to terrorize us when my grandmother left and went to the market. He would make sure that he cracked the whip, and he would be abusive, to be honest. And every Saturday, the minute my grandmother left, guess what? There goes my uncle. Started coming out, bullying every single one of us kid. And one day, I just said, you know what? I've just had enough of this. My uncle, he started off trying to hit me. I took up a shoe. I went back. Bam! And I hit him upside the head. My uncle drew for a broomstick. And guess what? I just, bam! I was gone. That's when I discovered that I had the gift of running. Man, I was so fast. I was like a Wesley Snipes running away from Uncle Sam. I hope some of y'all got that. I was gone. Everybody in the neighborhood was laughing. You know what? I just got tired of it. Because this guy constantly just bullied us every time my grandmother left. And from that moment on, I realized, you know what? I'm not going to allow him or anyone to actually take advantage of me, but I needed to stand up for myself. What I realized at that young age was my uncle was my giant. He was the giant that stood between me and my fun on a Saturday morning. Because as soon as my grandmother left, guess what? There he was. And I want to tell you this, that the children of Israel at this particular time was going through a similar experience, because the Bible declares that there was a giant that just appeared. In those days, one of the things you have to understand is warfare didn't happen like the way we do. What they would do at that time, they would have their military battle on one side, and the other side would have their military battle. And they would both be standing across from each other, and they would be arguing and just getting ready for the fight. You know, you ever see some people in school when they're fighting? They're just standing there, and you this and you that, and then they always said one little word that usually start the fight off. Well, your mom. And once you heard your mama, it's on. That means that the fight is about to happen. Now, this is what was happening between the Philistines and the Israelites. Now, the Bible said that this happened during the Valley of Elah. Now, one of the things you have to understand about the Valley of Elah, it was a little valley that was there, and the Israelites were actually on a hilltop, and so was the Philistine. Now, here is the problem. The reason why it took them about 40 days to have this challenge was none of those soldiers were getting ready to go on the other side. Because if you're going to go on the other side, you have to first go down into the valley and then come up on a hill. By the time you get up there, guess what? You're tired. And the chances of you winning the battle at that time becomes very slim. And so that's exactly what is going on here. So we go back into the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I want to say this. Every single one of us have faced some storms in our life. Now, the only qualification that you and I may have to face some storms or some giants in our lives is to be born. The fact that you are born means that you need to start getting ready for some of the storms and the giants that are just going to come up in your life. Now, some of these storms, I got to tell you, they're minor. They're small. They're like a tropical storm. All you're going to get is just a little bit of wind and a little bit of rain. But then you have some of these storms that are like a Category 5 hurricanes. And that means that you have to be prepared for these things. These things will make you go into your bed and curl up like a little baby, just hoping and wishing that the storm will pass over you. And this was one of the things that was going on at this time with the children of Israel. I always said this, you're either going into a storm, just getting out of a storm, or you're in a storm. So that means every single one of us at some point in our lives will have these storms or these giants that we've got to face. And it is important for us to understand what the makeup of these giants are if we are to face them. So let's first take a look at this. Now, the purpose of this message this morning is to inform you on how to identify the giants in your life and to encourage you to fully rely on God's power to face and eliminate the giants in your lives. Amen? So let's take a look. Let's take a look at the anatomy of a giant. And with that, I want you to look at verse number 4. Look what it said. It says, a champion named Goliath from Gath. Just the name Goliath from Gath kind of sounds scary, doesn't it? Now, Gath was a city that was full of giants from the early days. Now, the children of Israel have faced giants all throughout their history. As a matter of fact, Joshua had to face a lot of giants many times. And in those times, they were from the family of the Anak, or the Nephilim, where you heard that there were giants. And these giants were huge. As a matter of fact, in one particular passage of scripture, it says that one of these giants had 6 fingers and 6 toes. Now, that's crazy. That's a freak of nature right there if you see him. And this is exactly what the Bible here is saying about Goliath. Let's take a look at what it says about Goliath. Physically, he stands 9 foot tall, 9 inches. I tell you one thing. Eric Spoelstra would love to have this man on his team. Can you imagine what the Miami Heat would look like with such a guy like that? As a matter of fact, they would just tell the Warriors, it's time for you to just pack up and go home. Because we've got Goliath right here on this team. Amen? We saw what happened when we had Shaq many years ago. But anyways, we had Shaq in his last days, but he still won us a championship. All right? So here... So here it says that Goliath, verse number 4, was from Gath, and he came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore a bronze greave and a bronze javelin. Now, the other thing that needs to be understood about this Goliath is that he had a coat of mail. And what that was the armor suit that he would wear under his clothes. Now, the armor suit weighed over 150 pounds. 150 pounds. This dude is huge. But it didn't just stop there. It also said that he had a spear, a javelin. And the head of the spear weighed approximately over 15 pounds. This is a huge dude. This is a giant that is standing in our way in the play of Israel. But I want to also say that not only do we face physical giants, but we also face some spiritual giants. Now, let me explain a little bit about those spiritual giants that some of us face. A giant is not only physical, but spiritual. And a giant is any mountain or difficulty that we may face that is larger than our ability to handle. Let me repeat that again. A giant is any mountain of difficulty or challenges that we face that is larger than our ability to manage or to handle. Now, every single one of us here have a giant. Some of us, we have the giant of addiction. There are some things that we're just addicted to that we can't get rid of. We also have the giant of diseases, where some people are ill and they just can't get over that sickness. And that sickness has become a giant in our lives. For some, it may be fear of all sorts. For some, it may be your job. Your job may be your giant. Your spouse could also be your giant. Your parents may also be your giant. Another thing that your giant could be is immorality. It may be some kind of addiction to pornography. It may be that you're having sex outside of the bounds of marriages. And that could be a huge giant in your lives. Now, how do you know that you have a giant? How do you know that you have a giant? Whenever you are running the opposite direction, it gives you an idea that you have a giant in your lives. Let's take a look at what it says here in the text. Verse number 8 says, Goliath stood and shouted at the rank of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subject. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subject and servers." Verse number 10. Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." Now look at verse 11. It says, "On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed, and they were terrified." Did you see that? They were terrified. So how do you know that you have a giant? Whenever you feel that your giant's number one intention is to instill fear and intimidation in your life. To instill fear and intimidation in your life. Now, what is fear? Fear is an unpleasant emotion which is caused by the presence of danger. Now, God has created the body in such a unique way that whenever you are faced with a fearful situation, you only have two options. You either fight or you run. That is where the body's fight and flight signal is now turned on. And the giant's number one job is to instill this fear and intimidation in your life. Now, one of the things that also happen when you have fear is that this fear turns into anxiety. I don't know if you've ever seen some people who are just nervous about everything in life. That nervousness comes from a little bit of fear. Now, there are some people who are afraid of heights. There are some people who are afraid of darkness. There are some people who are afraid of blood. You ever see some people, they just can't look at blood? Or they just can't touch blood? There are some people who are afraid of failure. There are some people who are afraid of death. And then there are some people who are afraid of being alone. You want to know what the number one fear is? The number one fear in life is not the fear of death, is not the fear of being alone, but it's the fear of standing and speaking in public. Can you believe that? Most people would rather be in a coffin than standing up there giving the eulogy. Isn't that scary? Isn't that crazy? And that's the number one intentions of your giants. So your giants is going to come to try and dominate your life. Now, how do you know that the giant is dominating your life? Whenever it prevents you from accomplishing the goals that God has given you to accomplish. Now, what do we do when we know that we have a giant? Our job is not to be fearful. Our job is not to run away, because one of the things that the Bible tells us is that God has not given us a spirit of fear. And in throughout the scriptures, you will find that God have always encouraged his people to have courage. God have always told his people that your number one job is to have courage in the presence of fear. That's why he looked at Joshua and he said, be strong and courageous. So now we're coming back to this little story here where we're finding big giant Goliath. He's standing there defying all the army of Israel. And then there is one young person who decided that, you know what? I think I've just had enough of this giant. I think I've just had enough. Everybody else is running the opposite direction. As a matter of fact, Saul, who is the king at the time, is scared to death. Now, the Bible tells you about Saul that above everybody else in Israel, Saul stood head and shoulders above them. So Saul wasn't a small dude. Saul was big. Now, if Saul is big, that just tells you a little bit about how big Goliath is, because it says that Saul and all the rest of the Israelites were running, were scared. Why was Saul afraid? Why was he scared? Well, you see, Saul had a little issue. He did not have confidence in God anymore. And because Saul didn't have confidence in God, the Spirit of God wasn't on him. And when the Spirit of God was off of Saul, now you see Saul start becoming scared and fearful. And now look what happened to Israel. Let's move on. Now, one of the things that the devil does is the devil uses these fear as mind games to control you as believers. And it is important for us to start look at this story from the perspective of David. Now, how did David approach this? Let me give you a little bit of history of who David was. At this present time, David is a young man between the age of 17 to 23 years old. I know you have heard the story that David was a little boy, so you're thinking that David is probably about 10 years old, 9 years old. David was an adolescent. He was grown. He was up there in age. Matter of fact, 17 to 23 is still young compared to the giants that David was facing, right? Now, David also at this time, remember that he was anointed to be king. Remember that God went to Samuel and told Samuel, I want you to go to the house of Jesse and I want you to anoint one of his sons to be king. So at this time, David was already anointed king, but he did not become king as yet. He was anointed at first. The other thing was David's occupation. David had no military background. David was a shepherd, which means that he took care of sheep. This is the most interesting thing about this whole story here. It's not the fact that David was a David wasn't a military guy. David didn't go through all these military trainings. He wasn't even prepared for the battle that he was to fight. But out of all of those men that have been through military, that have been through training, and that have been through all of this, they were all scared. But David had a different spirit in him. Let's take a look at it. So what do we need to do when it comes to our giants? How are we supposed to approach our giants? Well, one of the things that we have to do is we have to learn to face our giant. The children of Israel at the time, when Goliath came about, they ran. They were gone. They were nowhere to be found. They were terrified of Goliath. But David, he decided that, you know what? I'm not going to run from this guy. In order for me to defeat this giant, I have to face him. And if you notice there, I have I like the picture there, right? We must face our giant. So I'm going to give you the acronym today for the word face. And the first thing, it's going to be first, in order to face our giant, the first thing that we have to do is fix. And I'll go through all of those in a minute. The second thing is going to be anticipate. The third thing is going to be compare. And the fourth thing is going to be eliminate. So you've got to fix, anticipate, compare, and eliminate. Now, what do you need to fix in order to face your giant? Let's take a look at how David did this. What did David do? The first thing that David did was David found out what was the reward. What was the reward of facing this giant? He fixed his eyes on the prize. Many years ago, in the early parts of the civil rights era, there was a famous song, "Keep Your Eyes on the Prize." And that was a song throughout the civil rights era that actually defined it, that we as a people, because of the difficulties that we've gone through of slavery, it was a song to encourage us so that we can keep our eyes on the prize. So David here is saying to his Goliath, the first thing David did was he fixed his eye on the prize. Now look at verse number 26. You're still there in Samuel chapter 17. Look at verse number 26. David, at this time, his father sent him over to go and bring some food over to his brothers and to give a little bit of report of what was happening in the battle. Now, David at that time lived in Bethlehem, and it was about 15 miles away from the battlefield in Elah. So his father Jesse said, "David, I want you to go down there. I want you to bring some food for your brothers. And also, I want you to find out exactly what is going on the battlefield, and I want you to go and report it to me." So David went down there. And as David went down there, one of the things that David did is he heard the commotion that was going on. And David was a little inquisitive. So David said, "Hey, I want to find out what's happening here." So David went unto them, and David overheard a little bit of what was happening. So David inquired of the men, and David said, "What would be to the man who defeat this giant?" Let's take a look at it. Verse number 26. Look what it says here. David asked the man standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" So David here is saying, what is it worth? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? I'm going to see if I can kind of recollect myself a little bit. I'm getting lost a little bit in between my notes and everything else. I usually don't like to use notes, but I tried this morning and it doesn't seem like it's working. So, let's go with it here. So, David said, I want to fix my eyes on the prize. I want to find out if facing this giant is worth it. One of the things we need to find out in our lives sometimes, when we have a giant that we have to face, we have to find out, is it worth even fighting him? As a matter of fact, to tell you the truth, there are some battles in life that you're going to find out it's not even worth fighting. There are some difficulties that you're going to face that are not really so much of a difficulty at all. But David, his difference was, he wasn't so much concerned with the Philistine. He wasn't concerned with what was going on. David, he was thinking about what is going to happen. What is going to be the prize of defeating this giant? What will I gain from overcoming this uncircumcised Philistine? Whenever you are facing a difficult challenge, whenever you are facing some difficulty in your life, the important thing that you want to start doing is look at what is going to be the reward of overcoming this difficulty. Because if you keep on focusing on your giants, it is going to discourage you and you will not have the power or the strength to be able to overcome your giant. So it is important for you and I to start now looking on what is going to be the reward from destroying this giant. So David, he fixed his eyes upon the prize. He fixed his eyes upon the prize. Now here is the difference between David and the children of Israel. The children of Israel saw a giant. The children of Israel saw a giant. But David wasn't looking at giant. David looked past his circumstances, and David was looking now, I want to see what I'm going to gain, because you know what? I think I'm going to defeat this guy. I'm going to destroy this guy. I'm not even looking at you. I'm looking at what I'm going to get for defeating you. Now, that's keeping your eyes on the prize right there. Now, here's the interesting thing. Israel, this is not the first time that they're going through this. Remember when God told the children of Israel, listen, you are going to possess the land. And when you go in there, this is a land that is flowing with milk and honey. And everything that you've ever dreamed up is there. Now, God told Moses, I want you to send some spies over there. And I want you to get them to be able to spy out the land. So, what did Moses do? He sent Joshua, Caleb, and 10 other men to go over into Canaan to go spy out the land. And what did they see when they went over there? The men came back and they said, you know what? We saw the land. It was beautiful, just as God told us. But there is only one problem. They got giants. And I'm not talking about a little guy. They were this big. But the children of Israel, their number one problem was they were looking at giants. But Joshua and Caleb, they had a different spirit in them. And they weren't looking at giants. They were looking at the fact that God promised us this land. This is the prize that we ought to accomplish. And so therefore, I don't see giants. When you start focusing on the prize, your situation, your giants becomes a little bit smaller. Because now you're not looking at the giants. I'm looking at what God has promised me. That is why Paul says, forgetting what is behind, I'm looking forward to what is ahead. I press on for the prize that is before me. That is why also in Hebrews he said, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Fix your eyes on the prize. So that's the first F. Now, the second thing that David did was he anticipated discouragement. He anticipated discouragement. I want you to look real quick for me. Going back to verse number 26. Verse number 28. When Eliab, David's older brother, heard him speaking with the man, he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." Now, Eliab was probably a little ticked off. Now, why do you think Eliab would be ticked off? Well, let's look a little bit back in the history. Remember that in the Jewish religion, when you are the firstborn, you have the rights of leadership of the family, right? Now, remember that David, being the youngest, was anointed king. So already, Eliab is probably not even liking that already. Right? Now, you ever had an older brother that you used to follow around a lot? And you just became like a little gnat? Everywhere he goes, it's just like you're annoying to him. This was what was happening with Eliab. Eliab was already ticked off that David was already anointed king. But now Eliab is like, wait a second, you're taking this thing too far. Not only are you anointed king, but now you think you want to be in charge here? You want to go out there and fight giants? David anticipated discouragement. What did David do? David looked at it. And David said, listen, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? What was happening? You see, discouragement is going to come from some of the people who are the closest to you. It might come from your spouse. It may come from your parents. It may come from your friends. People who are close to you, who know you, who should know better. They're going to look at you and say, hey, you're just an annoying little brat. Who do you really think you are? You are so prideful. Remember this little story here that went back a little bit before when Joseph had those brothers and Joseph went to his brothers and tell them, listen, God has given me a dream. And they looked at Joseph and said, wait a second, wait. You mean you're going to be in charge of us? We're going to be bowing down to you? No, we got to get rid of this kid. And they got rid of Joseph and put him and sold him into slavery. Sometimes the discouragement is going to come from the people who are the closest to you. Not only that, the second thing I want you to see is that David was first discouraged by his brother. Now, David is also going to be discouraged by Saul. Look at verse number 33. Verse 33, let's read verse 32 before. Then David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." And look what Saul's reply to David was, verse 33. Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been fighting since he was a youth." So wait a second. Here is Saul, who is the king who David looked up to. Sometimes, not only is your discouragement going to come from the people who are the closest to you, but your discouragement would also come from the people who you look up to. I can't tell you how many people told me that I'll never be able to speak. I can't tell you how many people look at me and say, "Calvin, you're too young to be teaching a Sunday school class. You're too young to be leading youth group. You're too young to be doing this." And what they were trying to do, maybe they didn't realize it, but they were discouraging me by telling you that you can't. You know, most people are told what they can't do before they are told what they can do. If you look back in your life, most of the times you have been told that you can't do this, you can't do that. And so Saul looked at David and said, "David, you are too young." I remember when God spoke to Jeremiah, and God came to Jeremiah one night and God said, "Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Not only did I knew you, but I ordained you. I called you to be a prophet." Jeremiah looked at God and Jeremiah said, "Wait a second, Lord, we got two problems. Number one, I'm too young. Number two, I'm inexperienced. And what did God say to Jeremiah? God said, you shall not say you're too young. In other words, what God is saying, your age does not determine your destiny. Your age does not determine what goals and plans that I have for you and your future. So it is important for you and I to understand that discouragement is going to come from the people who you admire the most. They're going to tell you that you're too young, that you can't make it, you can't own a $1 million company, you can't lead a church, you can't do this because of your age. But the Bible says, let no man despise thy youth. I call upon the young because you are strong. Don't be discouraged. The third thing I want you to see real quick is that David was discouraged not only by his brother, not only by Saul, but now David was discouraged by his giant. His giant discouraged him. Take a look real quick down to verse, let's follow verse 33 there and go down. But I want you to really go down to verse 45. But look what it says right here. Actually, no, verse 41. Meanwhile, the Philistine with the shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome. He despised him. He said to David, Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. So not only was David discouraged by his brother, the people who was closest to him, not only was David discouraged by Saul, who was his mentor or who he looked up to, but David is now discouraged by his enemy. David is now discouraged by his enemy. Sometimes your giant is going to look so big and is going to taunt you so bad that you're going to feel like you don't have the strength to be able to overcome him. Your giant is going to be so big that you feel like you don't have what it takes to overcome him. And that giant is going to taunt you and to make you feel insignificant and to make you feel less than you are. But it is your responsibility to start looking not at the giant, but to look at your God. To look not at the giant, but to look at your God. Notice David's response to his giant. David didn't sit there and say, listen, I'm a little scared because you said that. David said to the Philistine, listen, you come to me against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of the host of Israel. Let me get into that real quick. So the third thing that David did, so David fixed his eyes on the prize. David anticipated discouragement. And the third thing that David did was David compared his giant to his God. David compared his giant to his God. Look at verse number 36. 36 says, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, I'm sorry. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. I want you to pay close attention right there because there is something right there that needs to be said. You notice that David did not say that this giant has defied the army of Israel. You ever notice that? It said that this giant have defied the armies of Israel. In other words, not only does he have a problem fighting the army of Israel, but it's the armies of Israel that he's going to have a problem fighting with. Because one of the things that you have known is that God will always go to battle for his people. And when David is talking about the armies, he's talking about the host of heaven that is standing behind Israel and is ready to defeat the giants. Now, here is the thing. Whenever you are facing difficulty in your life, no matter what you're going through, compare your giants, not just to yourselves, but to the armies of the living God. And I guarantee you that you will have success over your giants. But you have to compare your giants unto your God. You got to compare your giants unto your God. And see, I'm running for time, so I want to make sure that I get through this. Now, the last thing that David did, so David fixed his eyes on the prize. David anticipated discouragement. David compared his giants to his God. And the last thing that David did was, David eliminated his giants. You see, if you don't eliminate the giants in your lives, you will be running for the rest of your lives. If you don't eliminate the giants of your lives, you will be running for the rest of your life. Did you notice that the army was there for 40 days? Why do you think they were there for 40 days? You know, one of the things that I've learned as a young kid is that whenever you have a bully, and if that bully keeps on bullying you, and you keep running, I don't think that bully is going to stop. Because that bully has realized that he has intimidated you and that he has now discouraged you. It is your responsibility to now stand up to that bully. And I guarantee you, once you knock some sense into that kid, I tell you, he will not. My two kids, they argue and they fight a lot. And sometimes one like to hit the other one and the other. And I say, you know what? One day you're going to stop. Because once the other one just give you a hit one day, that will be the last time that you will push him around. And you know what? It happens. You know, so it's important for us to start understanding here that we need to start eliminating our giants. Now, how do we eliminate our giants? And with that, I'm drawing down to a close. How do we eliminate our giants? Go back a little bit to verse number 33. Something that Saul said to David that was very important. Now, David said to Saul, "Let no one's heart lose him on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Verse 33, Saul replied, "You're not able to go against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion and a bear came and carried off his sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned to me, I seized it by the hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God." Verse number 37, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." Look at Saul's response. So Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." What is Saul saying to David? In order to defeat the giants and to eliminate them out of your lives, one of the things that we have to learn is to go with God. Do not attempt to try to face or fight the giants in your lives by your own strength. That is a mistake. When you begin to try to face the giants in your life by your own strength, I guarantee you, you will lose. But here is what the Bible here is saying, that in order to overcome the giants in your life, you have to go with God. Real quick, the second thing he says here is you need to trust God. Saul now said to David, "Okay, David, I see. I want you to now put on my armor. I know that you know, I see that the Lord is with you, and I see that you really want to fight this giant, but now I want the Lord, I want you to be prepared to go for battle with this. And so Saul put his armor on him, and David said, you know what, Saul, let me try. He put it on, and David said, I can't walk in these things. I can't use these things. In other words, what David was saying is, don't use the same weapons that other people have used to fight their battles to fight your battles. You get that? Don't use what worked for somebody else to fight your battles. You have to use the weapons that God has given you. If you look back in your life, you would see that God have used you to overcome certain giants before. It is not the first time that you are overcoming giants. The fact that you are here today demonstrate that you have overcome many giants in your life. Look back at the same God that helped you back then. It's the same God that is available at this present moment that will give you the strength and the power to overcome all the giants of your life. And so it is important for you to understand, don't use other people's weapon, because your number one weapon is God. Here's the thing that I learned. You can have a million-man army, but one man with God is still the majority. You get that? You can have a million-man army, but one man with God is still the majority. So what was God teaching David at this time? What was going on in David's life? David understood that in order for me to defeat my giants, something has to happen. You have to plan to win. I learned this a little bit from Zig Ziglar. He says, you have to plan to win. And if you look at the story, you'll see you have to plan to win. You have to prepare to win. David looked at his life. He looked at all the things that he went through. And it was preparation for the giants that he was about to fear, to face. You see, everything that you've been through in your life is not preparing you for how you live now. It's preparing you for your next challenge, for your next battle. The lessons that you learn throughout fighting those giants is going to be needed to overcome your giants that are coming. And don't think that they're not coming. They're coming. So you got to plan to win. You got to prepare to win. And the last thing you got to do is you got to expect to win. You have to expect to win. David looked his giant in the eye, and David said, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. Did you see that? This day, the Lord is going to deliver you into my hands. What is David saying? David is saying, listen, I have put my faith, I have put my confidence and my trust in my God. And once you put your faith and your trust and your confidence in God's hands, there is no demon in hell that can stand against you. David was saying, listen, it all depends on whose hands it is in. David was saying to his people, it all depends on whose hand it's in. You see, you got a spear, you got a javelin, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord because I am in God's hands. You see, in life, you got to understand this. See, a basketball in my hand is only worth $33. But if you put that basketball in LeBron James' hand, that earns what? Five-time NBA Finals and two-time championship, because it all depends on whose hands it is in. You put a golf clubs in my hand, you better watch out. But if you put that in Tiger Woods' hand, it means the Masters Championship several times. Why? Because it all depends on whose hands it is in. If you put a tennis racket in my hand, I can swat a few flies. But if you put it in Serena Williams' hand, that's Wimbledon Championship on top of championship. Why? Because it all depends on whose hands it is in. You put two fish and five loaves in my hand, that will make you a fish sandwich. But if you put that in Jesus's hand, that's 5,000 people that he can feed, because it all depends on whose hands it is in. If you put some nails in my hand, I can make you a chicken coop. But if you put nails in the hands of Jesus hanging on the cross between two thieves, means salvation for the world, because it all depends on whose hands it is in. My brothers, my sisters, when you put your life in God's hands, He will give you the strength to face your giants and eliminate your giants. But you've got to fix your eyes on the prize. You've got to avoid discouragement. You've got to compare your giants to your God. And lastly, eliminate your giants. Let me just close by saying this. There is a giant that is ever so evident in this world today. And that giant is sin. And it is a giant that has already been conquered. Here's the thing what the Bible says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then he didn't stop there. He says, and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So here's what has happened. God has eliminated that giant of sin when he died on the cross for you over 2,000 years ago. And God is saying to you this time, I want you so bad that I was willing to stand up to one of the biggest giant that anyone could face. And I eliminated that giant to make you free to live the life that I've called you to live. If you are here this morning and you have never trusted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, would you just indicate by raising your hand? Would you just indicate by raising your hand? Because God wants to eliminate that giant in your life today. Oh yes, we have some giants. It is serious. But once you put your life in God's hands, you will be prepared to handle any giant that comes in your life.